Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody together said, Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. The lesson today comes to us from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we'll have a scripture here on the screen in a moment for us to look at and to read from. Let me welcome you to service today. I don't know where you thought about it. It is the last Lord's Day of the year. It's also the last Lord's Day of the decade, isn't it? Fixing to head off into 2020. And I don't know what all of that necessarily means to you, but you know, in a 10-year period of time, lots of things can take place. Lots of things can happen. And as we look around us, I know that all of us recognize that there are some that are no longer with us. I know that families lose their loved ones. Brotherhoods lose great ones. In 2019, Dr. Jack Evans from the Southwestern Christian School, a president of it for a number of years, senior, he's got a son by the name of Jack Evans, he passed away. How many of you knew Brother Tex Williams? He was the original guy with World Bible School in our area. He was quite a fellow, also a teacher out at the Sunset School of Preaching, and he passed away this past year as well. Brother Paul Methven, who was one of the pioneers with the family encampments that helped Red River encampment get going, and that was a marvelous occasion, or marvelous, I'm going to say, tradition that continues to happen each year. Of course, in our own congregation, we have those like Patsy Ferguson and Joanne Wright and our own brother Tom Jones, who passed on and went to their rewards as great Christian people. And they will be remembered, of course, fondly by all of us. As we prepare ourselves, though, to think about the coming of a new year, I want you to think about with me for a moment, maybe a poor preacher's scrambled up thought of when the improbable seems to be, or excuse me, the impossible, see, I can't even say it, when the impossible seems improbable. Read with me, if you will, from the book of Hebrews. If you've got your Bible, I'm going to remind you that this is the great chapter we know often referred to as the Hall of Fame. Now, there's a number of people of all of the past histories of the Bible that are listed in here, great folks who've gone on, and their lives are remembered. Many of them are spoken of in tones such as, even in death, yet they still speak to us. And they range from such characters as Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, all of those that are listed. Abraham, of course, is a very popular one. You will know of him, and his story is here as well. But I want to pick up in the narrative where the writer is talking about Sarah. And I want you, if you will, to think along with me about not only is something that seems to be the impossible, but what is the probability that it could ever take place or that it would ever happen. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, Abraham, and he was as good as dead. I'm not sure what that means, okay? Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now keep these thoughts in mind. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. And if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to go back, to return. Instead, they were longing, looking for something better. They were looking for a better country. In this case, a heavenly place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Well, as my brother Paul Methvin always said, boy, this is pregnant with thought. There are many, many trails to go down in this passage. Jesus said in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew and at verse 26, He was explaining to the disciples after having given them a difficult teaching and said, with man, this is impossible. Are you listening now? This is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Mark records it like this in chapter 9 and verse 23. Everything is possible for him who believes. And that's what we read about this passage in Hebrews chapter 11. Not long ago, from Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8, I preached this lesson and I said to you in your participation, who do you trust? Well, good. Some of you remembered even longer than past a couple of weeks or so. Good. That was great. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's what the Scripture says. Who do you trust? I know you're not really enthusiastic about it. I mean, after this long week of holidays and Christmas shopping and taking gifts back and everything. But who do you trust? That's right. Paul would say it in Philippians 4, I can do everything through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. That's the King James Version. I can do all things through Him. Or the verse we quoted when I came to the pulpit, and that I quote each Lord's Day to you before our lesson. A great passage of Scripture that are motivating passages. Hopefully they are. And while we don't necessarily quote from the midst of a book in a chapter like Hebrews 11, but that's exactly why God was speaking to us in Hebrews in this very fashion. These are great words, and yet you and I both recognize them just to be words on a page. Nice words, but words nevertheless. I believe in them. Probably most of us in the room do. I believe it's what motivates me in my own personal life and my ministry. I like to try to take those kind of passages to heart. And when I'm down and when life is kicking me around or about, or dirt in your face or sand in your eye or however you want to explain it, you try to think about the positive things that God says to us. And all of these marvelous people in the, well, this Hall of Fame chapter, chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, where God is telling us how they were great men and women of faith, and how that they lived their lives of actions. They were those kind of people, and yet we're told that they did not receive the promises. We're told, rather, that they believed in Him who made the promise. And whether we realize it or not, that plays a larger role in our life each and every day. When you're talking to your children and you're trying to teach them something, you really think that they grasp everything that you're saying? Well, their actions prove that they don't, right? But the one thing they do believe is that they believe in the person telling them. They believe in Mom and Dad. My daddy told me so. My mama told me so. In fact, here I am, a man in his 70s, and I'm still saying those same kind of things in the pulpit. My mama said, or my daddy said. It wasn't at that point that I had realized that what they were saying was truth. It was that I believed in them telling me the truth, and I repeated it. But as an older human being, the things that are actually true come to the surface. And we find out that it's not just the words on the lips of people, rather it's the truths in life that we talk about. John MacArthur wrote in one of his commentaries, or in the commentary on the book of Hebrews anyway, and he says, this is a man's statement, but I think you'll find it a powerful one. It says, faith is powerful. Faith sees the invisible. Faith hears the inaudible. It touches the intangible. And it accomplishes the impossible. Now, if you have one gray hair, how many in this room have a gray hair? Come on, get it up. Let me see. Some of you are hiding. Yeah, some of you got. Yeah, some of you like me. You ain't got no hair. No, but what I do have is gray. Most places. What does all of that mean? I'm telling you, my friend, that as we live our lives, we see these things begin to come true. You see, unfortunately, some faith is all talk. It never really gets down to action. You see, talking faith may get us started, and I believe that it does, but it will not get us where we want to go. It will not make us the persons of faith that we want to be. It will not change our lives powerfully, and it will not affect the innermost persons that we really are. I want to say to you that I want to be a person of active faith, a faith that moves me, a faith that will not be content unless it is continuing to grow. A faith that when I don't want to get up, pushes me up and keeps me headed in the race, the Christian race, the life that God has put before us to live. A faith that we would say today is 24/7, a way of life. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not trying to speak for you. But I'm trying to encourage you that as we get ready to celebrate the coming in of a new year, and that we think about our own personal lives, I hope we'll remember this text that we read just a few moments ago, that by faith that Abraham and Sarah, even though they are past age, Sarah herself was barren. She did not have children. She was enabled to become a mother. Abraham, according to the Scripture, who was as good as dead. He was past having any descendants. And promises were made to him about descendants. Where would you have been if someone had said to you at 100 years of age, you're going to have a baby? What? You got to be kidding me. Have you looked at me? I'm old. It ain't happening. It's impossible. The one thing you see, folks, that most of us cast aside so quickly is that nothing is impossible with God. I get an amen from somebody. Nothing is impossible with God. You think you have challenges to your faith? The life that you're now living? You do. I know you do. I have them in my life. Are they anything like Abraham or Sarah? You know, where you're a 90-year-old woman and you wanted all of your life, nothing more than to just have children, and God promised you to give you a child, and here you are at 90 and you still don't have one, and the Bible says she was done. She was past the age of bearing children. Abraham was old. Too old for kids. One of the great things about having grandkids is because they go home. Yeah. Man, we're peeping out the windows, making sure they're not turning around. We tell them, wait before you go. I'm going to check the house for you. Because I don't want you to leave anything behind. You'd be back for it. And I'm afraid they may come back too soon. Because my tongue is already on the floor. Chasing with them grandkids. We love every minute of it, and you do too. But you're glad when they're gone. Man, the house is back in order. Well, after a while. I don't know what kind of challenges that you face. You know who, when I say Isaac, everybody know who that is? That's the child that's going to be born. Isaac. Isaac's parents. Can you imagine the PTA meeting taking your parents? Here's Abraham and Sarah. They were probably in one of those scooters and a couple of walkers, right? Something like that. His parents are old. And yet, when we read about them, very often we find that God has miraculously kept them alive and in good shape. Isaac's birth Are you listening? Was not a virgin birth. But I'm here to tell you it was a miraculous one. Because he was born to a woman 90 years old and a father who was 100. Unbelievable, impossible, incredible, improbable, and so very unlikely. And yet at the same time, it's not a whole lot different than our story about Jesus, is it? Why, Mary, thou art highly favored among all women. Joseph, don't panic about doing, don't worry about what's in Mary. That it's of the Holy Ghost. She's going to have the Christ child. See, they didn't believe in just the lip thing. They believed in the person who was saying this. Abraham considered him faithful who made the promise. Who do you trust? Oh, you were slow on that one. Yeah, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Do we live like that? Have you been living that way? He had come to the place in his life where he trusted God. He had absolute confidence in the character and the integrity of his Heavenly Father. It didn't happen all at once. You know the stories about Abraham. Was he right on every point? Was he without sin? No. But he's at the point in his life now when he hears something really strange. You know, it's almost as if Abraham sort of had a talk with God and said, God, hey, look at my old body. I've got problems. Have you seen my bride? She's an old woman. She is wrinkly. She's over 90. And hey, have you forgotten this? She's never been able to have children. Never. Even though we wanted to. And now our time has passed. And Lord, I think my time has passed too. But if you say it's going to happen, are you with me? If you say it's going to happen, I believe it. Sarah became pregnant. This is Genesis 21, 2 and 3. Sarah became pregnant. She bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son that Sarah bore him. Impossible, you say? Improbable? Yeah. The challenging faith of Abraham. The impossible became possible. Even though it was improbable. All because he believed in him. You see, that's because faith is powerful. Faith sees the invisible. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That was the verses we did not read at the beginning of this chapter. You see, for therein the elders obtained good report that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which were seen were not made of things that do appear. That's the kind of God we serve. As sons and as daughters of God, we are called to be men and women of faith like Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, it was a child in their great-grandparenting age, way beyond it. You and I might shudder to think to ourselves, Lord, anything but that. But to Abraham and Sarah, it was a dream come true. I'll never forget Tommy, an elderly woman in our congregation in Whittier. One time she overheard me say something about the kids. And she said to me, goats have kids. People have children. Why would I remember that at this time? Because God makes things possible. Children of God are possible because of our God. You know, I think that the challenges of Abraham's faith are not much different than our challenges. I want to be very frank for a minute. I'm not going to be Frank. I'm going to be Bob. But listen. Many Christians are missing their calling because when God called them and provided them an opportunity, they laughed. They laughed. Well, you know, I can't. I'm too old for that. I've never. Well, why not? I'm not trained for that. Well, you're an old person. Why aren't you trained for that? There are a lot of us that think that because we're old, we shouldn't have to do that anymore. That's not the kind of faith that God produces. That's the kind of faith that mankind produces. Because you see, with God, everything is possible. Ask Doug. He's taught fourth graders and fifth graders on a Wednesday night before. Most of you boys would say, no, I can't do that. Yes, you can. What is your faith challenging you to do? What are you going to do in 2020? Let's go one step further. What about our congregation? What about the challenge of our congregation? It's not a mistake. The South Main Church is here for a reason. It's not a fluke. It's not an accident. Yeah, it's true. We are not who we were 20 years ago. We're not who we were 10 years ago. We are who we are today. And what are we going to do about it? Are we going to continue to let our faith be challenged and grow and rise up to the challenge and meet it so that our community knows we're here? And that we have an opportunity to serve them. God has brought us together for reasons. The Bible says we're refined by fire. We're to stretch our faith. We are created, as Bobby said in his introduction, to be family. And there's nothing stronger than a family. And He now calls us to grow in a Abraham-like faith, a Sarah-like faith. God didn't send us here in this place to keep it a secret. He wants us to shine. He wants us to grow. We need to believe in the God who says it and stop believing in us. Because what God says is that nothing is impossible with me. God does the impossible as well as the improbable, especially when He views an ordinary men and women growing with extraordinary faith, reaching out and doing, going beyond what they normally do. Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16 again say, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that were promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Brethren, do we act like that? Do we believe ourselves to be visitors here? That our home is really with God in heaven above? Then let's start acting like it. Let's go forward today and let's not be ashamed of who we are. For God has said He is not ashamed to call us His children. And He wants to call us to do good things. If God is calling you today, hear these words. Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 6 state, Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay His hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Does that surprise you that Jesus would think that or even say it? Amazed at their lack of faith. Instead, He wants us to step up to the plate. I don't care how old you are, He wants you to dream again. God is asking you to believe that you can contribute something to this group. God is challenging you to grow in your faith. Your faith ought to look like the faith of Abraham and Sarah's, who said, I don't know how it's happening, but if You say it, Lord, it's going to happen. I want to challenge you to that today. I hope you'll look forward to the coming year to do something great for our Lord. Let me mention one last thing to you. I don't mind telling you that I wouldn't, maybe in my wildest of dreams, made any kind of prediction about this when I moved here. But do you know that in the last 5 years, 4,468 souls have been taught the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the effort of this congregation in the prison? That's right. That's because they believed in God who said it could be done. And you did it. God is calling you today. God is calling us today to do more in 2020. I want to encourage you. Think about what you will do.